Well, hello. This is, we don't have a guest today, but this is a new episode, a guestless one, finally. One you've all been asking for, and rightfully so. This is our first guestless episode since Casino Royale, I believe, right?
How long ago was that?
It's been like 2 months.
Literal month ago for that fucking episode. So yeah, we're
it's
on
been like six. It's been like six episodes since we did a guest list.
Yeah, this is episode 95. The last guest list was 88.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, we're so sorry, people. We didn't realize.
Just everyone's beating down our door to come on. We've had nothing but a flood of people begging to come on the official podcast. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of true.
You guys remember when my janitor wouldn't even come on? Fucking Stan Merlin. Now all of a sudden we have big name, big shot billionaires that just can't get enough of the show.
We've gotten to the point where we have to turn people down now. It's incredible.
I don't think we've ever done that yet, but
no,
we're getting there.
Well, not turn people down, but said, oh, you're going to have to wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We've put them on the waiting list. We had to be polite. We finally got to that point.
We can
put you on our Patreon episode, on our bonus episode.
It's true.
If that would suit you.
I don't know why you say it so.
I want the big episode.
Derogatorily, I very much enjoy the bonuses far more.
No, well, but
I think it
if they're guests, they're going for the mass exposure.
Yeah, but
I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah. It depends on, do you want the nice, ritzy, money-dropping audience that loves us and will probably hate any guest we bring on for a bonus? Or do you want the big, mass-appealing anyone and everything audience, you know?
Yeah,
I think
I don't know.
Most people think of when they hear bonus is like, oh, I guess I'm not important enough for a full episode, but they don't realize that the reason we do bonuses with guests is because we do the scheduling for these guests so far in advance. So it'll be like many months before someone that you want can come on to make it into the schedule. But with a bonus, we can put them on immediately while you're asking for them. But I think it's like kind of insulting from the guest perspective, which is kind of upsetting.
I don't know. I mean, from a business perspective, the people who watch these bonuses, they are dedicated fans. They're any shows like core audience, the people who actually pay for it and really care. If you impress them, I think it might be even better for you than, you know, getting more views. I don't know. I enjoy the bonuses. I know that some of the guests we've had weren't the big draws. I suppose they wouldn't get as many clicks as some of the ones we've had on the mainline episodes, but yeah, still my favorites. I love Asterios, for example. I don't think he might have been quite as funny as the main episode. I mean, he would have been, but maybe.
Are you listening, Asterios? Go fuck yourself, Asterios, if you're listening.
Yeah, I said that wrong, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been 100,000 people watching, but all of them saying, who the hell is this?
I think you're making it worse for him.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, well, he can come on and defend himself.
That no-name nobody.
So, Kaya, what's all this recent drama I've been hearing about the woods with you stalking Maddox?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I actually called into Dick's show yesterday to explain myself. It's just, the whole Dick and Maddox thing is the only drama I've ever cared about online. Like, genuinely, because it's something near and dear to my heart to see somebody that I really used to enjoy when I was in my teenage years fall so hard from grace and become the exact opposite of what he used to be. Like, every other drama, it doesn't have any stakes, right? The mundane Matt thing, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. It's funny for the 10 minutes where he gets caught on that one stream, but for the other months upon months of drama, it's just such boring garbage, right? We've talked about how nobody likes sifting through that shit. Whereas this is just, it has all the elements. The rise of a new champion, the fall from grace of an old one, real life stakes, real careers on the line, multi-million-dollar lawsuits, a drunk lawyer. What more could you ask for? But
I mean, I think the cherry on top with all what you're saying too is his content just completely fucking falling flat in the sidelines. Like, you think maybe some people would have still respected him if he put out still funny things or insightful things?
Some people still do respect him. He's still got an audience, even though it is like
not really
extremely.
He makes
small.
Like what, $40 a month on Patreon?
Yeah, something.
I'm gonna look it up right now. It's pathetic.
He got surpassed by Chris Chan recently. Let's just leave it at that.
Nice.
$165 a month to the man who literally defined the early internet. Come
not
on.
Just defined well, the early internet. The so man, when I was like, I don't know when I read this guy's website anymore, like 14, 15, 16. I guess that's how old I was. And he was one of the first people whose content I would consume that taught me that, you know, comedy, satire, and mockery are valid forms of criticism. And the best part was nobody could do anything about it. He would take pride in putting up hate mail that he would get, or the Mothers Against Maddox nonsense. He'd make fun of it, and it was just so fun and exhilarating to find out about this foreign concept to me called free speech, where you could just insult people and they don't get to throw you in prison for it. And fast forward 10 years, this asshole's just suing people for calling him a cock. So he, for the first time in, I don't know, like 5 years since this feud between him and Dick, he actually goes public and acknowledges the lawsuit publicly. And he decides he should do this on a stream he does with the creator of Earthworm Jim, Dr. Naple. He seems like a good person. I don't know. He's hardcore Christian, though. An evangelical Christian who, every discussion somehow comes back to God and Jesus saves you. But so I'm watching this drunkenly and we're all already rubbing our hands together just like little children on Christmas morning because we know Doug is reading all the super chats, which Maddox has never done before. Maddox has been on other podcasts before, like the Drunken Peasants, but he had them censor the chat, right? He wouldn't have them read all the ones making fun of him. Doug didn't. Doug had no fucking idea what was going on. He was just reading everything. So everybody was just bombarding Doug with these super chats, making fun of Maddox. I joined in drunkenly. And I think Doug made more off of those super chats mocking Maddox than Maddox has made on Patreon in 2 months. So that's where he is in his career. And yeah, Maddox calls me a stalker of 10 years because of the same story I told you guys before. I was the first person that, quote, leaked his shitty video to
hacked
YouTube.
Hacked into his mainframe. Yeah.
Yeah, hacked into his mainframe by downloading a file that was publicly available on his server and warning him 5 times in different mails and other ways that his fly was open, but he just wouldn't reply.
So basically it's just that encounter that he's had with you that caused him to think that you're a stalker?
Oh no, he calls everybody a stalker. Somebody made a supercut and it's 57 seconds of him calling everybody and everything a stalker.
Oh, well, that kind of loses its power then.
Andrew could very easily call Maddox a stalker because Maddox comments on nearly every single one of Andrew's tweets.
That is a very true fact. I don't know how many people are aware of this, but Maddox does not follow me, nor have I directly involved myself in any of this bullshit or messaged him or anything. But probably once a week, I'll just look and he'll just like and reply to my tweets just out of nowhere. Just I'll say, like, I don't know. I think a while ago I was like, man, YouTube sucks. I hate it. This is bad. And he'll just be like, hell yeah, man. I had this problem too. And I'm like, why are you talking here? what are you doing?
Maybe he really likes how it's made, Andrew.
Oh, he loves it.
He's a super huge fan.
I really hope that he has a complete just unacknowledgement of anything that's going on. And he like invites me to come on his show or something. Or just tries to get me involved in his shit.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'd infiltrate like a sleeper agent and just wake up when my code word sounds over the PA.
No, you should infiltrate, but at the last second, just change you out for Kaya. So Kaya's in the call.
Oh.
Yeah, like a tag team match. You just slap Kaya's ass on the way in.
I wonder if he knows what I look like, if I could like sneak in as Andrew, or if he would immediately recognize.
Oh, that'd be great.
I feel like he would know what I look like because he seems more obsessed with just random people who are complete nobodies. Like, I'm a nobody. How the fuck does he remember me from 10 years ago? He immediately, as soon as he saw the super chat, he went, yeah, this Kaya guy, he's been stalking me for 7, 8 years, 10 years. How the fuck do you even remember that? That's insane. I barely remembered that. He remembered a two-word exchange we had on Facebook 6 years ago that he blew out of proportion and made it and turned this into this anime battle, the way he described it on Duck's show. Weird fucking shit.
Yeah.
Good old Maddox, always a comedy gold mine.
Now he might get sued by Nick Ricciardo, the guy we were gonna have on the bonus episode, if any of you guys remember to show up. Because he called Nick a blackface lawyer and a stalker. Now it turns out that for something to be slander, you have to prove that what they said about you cost you money. Unless it's a crime. Unless they're accusing you of a crime. And turns out stalking is a crime. You can't just call somebody a stalker. Because that's, you're accusing them of committing a crime now. And if you can't prove it, that's slander. So Nick's apparently looking into, he sent him a cease and desist or something. I hope he keeps it up.
Here's hoping he doubles down. How many lawsuits do you think he can have active at once?
Well, technically infinite, right?
Is there a limit? There must be a limit before the court just stops accepting your lawsuits
No, that's not in America. That's why we have such a culture of frivolous suing and, imploring for everything.
Jackson, there's no way in America you can go to court and the lawyers will turn you back. Like, no, sir, we can't take any more of your money. Mm-mm.
We do this for the justice and to defend our clients. We don't. You know what? Next time it's on the house. Don't even pay me.
Yeah.
Fucking heroes.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, you brought up something in the past, so I figured it's only appropriate I do as well. Going through Jackson's old emails about Bitcoin.
Why?
I occasionally look at these.
Why?
Remind myself so of the innocent boy Jackson used to be. So let's give you a little sneak peek into Jackson's upcoming project.
The chat is into it.
As synopsized by Jackson's email,
Bitdefense. I don't know if this was me. This could have been my business partners organizing these emails.
Your business partner, you putting on a different voice,
him putting on a fake mustache behind the computer,
calling himself David Sunderlund from EA.
Let me connect you to my partner, dearest Charles. Thank you for working on my game.
All right, so here we go. A quick summary. Bitdefense is an independent video game developed by two students who have a passion for creating universes that players can interact with. It features a unique art style as well as fun gameplay mechanics that would best be described as stealth action puzzle. We plan on creating an interesting story as well as several game modes that the player can play. And he sent me like the main menu screen, which just says Bitdefense on a Minecraft block.
Oh boy.
Oh, I stand by it.
The game will deal with themes of oppression.
What?
As well as how a utopian environment can be a dystopia. You play the role of Bit.
Wait a minute. You can't say that. As well as how up can be down. that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
There can be bad points to a good place, Andrew.
That's not what those mean.
What were you gonna play on the theme of oppression?
Yeah, can you give us a little insider background, developer standpoint?
What was your late high school compassionate story about oppression and race wars and all this?
when the teachers wouldn't let us go out to lunch early enough.
Oh, Lord. You play the role of Bit, capital B, lowercase I, capital T, a program developed to bypass computer security defenses as it is tasked with bringing an end to a conflict between two warring states. We are attempting to bring a heartwarming humanization that will aim to connect players better with Bit as he struggles with the conundrum of understanding himself. Oh, it's so cute.
Aww. It's like a Disney movie as well, a Pixar movie, all in one.
Charlie, how did you even begin to believe this shit when I think I remember one of the screenshots was literally the Dark Souls 2 box art, but with the word Bitdefense written on it?
Jesus.
I thought it was his art. I was like, well, you know, the story kind of sucks, but the art's kind of cool.
The story sucks?
Oh.
I mean, well, okay. You know, I'll give you this. It could work if the game wasn't about blocks. The gameplay screenshots he sent me were shapes in like a rogue area, kind of like Binding of Isaac, but with Minecraft blocks.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know high art when you see it.
And then we'll continue.
You don't know what I was going for.
We're going to be pulling this off during the appropriate. We are going to be pulling this off during the appropriately linked story missions, where we give Bit the full backstory treatment. Brilliance is a state born from the dust of the old world.
Thank you, Mark Twain.
A world now is extinct from a generation-long war that shattered almost all civilization. It is the glimmering crystal in the rough. The people there are the upper class echelon. New Foundation is the exact juxtaposition. The exact juxtaposition of brilliance. Desolate. Rural. Third world. Poverty. Hated. All of those words describe New Foundations. A rebellious state who despises brilliance. And then he sent me a picture of the globe, but with a red on the top territories.
A picture of a globe with a red filter?
So it's the world
map. It's stylized.
Map. Yeah, it's the world map that is blue.
Oh.
And red.
It shows the locations of where those two factions are.
Yeah, the locations that you stole from someone else.
Luckily, Australia is in the clear. They're part of the old world or
I
something.
I have to say, though, this is so much better than what Charlie and I can do. Because Charlie and I, we've been trying to write a show pitch for Heart Turbo to try and pitch it to a studio, which is most likely just a Ponzi scheme is going to ask us to pitch other shows to our friends and then have them pitch shows to their friends. But all we can come up with is, you're Heart Turbo. He's a streamer.
Okay, but
are you making Heart Turbo a streamer?
Okay, so we have great ideas, but it's so hard to put them into a pitch. That's the trouble.
Yeah, well, I had
trouble.
A shit idea, but I was able to pitch it to
just
you.
Just open the thesaurus and pick at random like Jackson did.
He hated, gross, dirty,
domesticated.
All words to describe the Powerpuff Girls.
Those are all adjectives. They describe it.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So wait, Hard Turbo's a streamer now?
It's classified.
So to give you a little sneak preview to get the investors out there listening interested, we've changed Hard Turbo's background. His name is now Shock Rock Vane, and he's the Earth's last vlogger. Everyone else has been exiled to another world.
Well, that's awful.
So,
that's a massive
So ripping
pivot.
Off the plot of End is Nigh. Cool.
What the fuck is that?
It's the game by Edward McMullen, the guy who made Binding of Isaac and Meat Boy. His newest game, the plot is there's a streamer in a post-apocalypse and he's the last one on Earth and he live streams
everything
he does.
Earth has still got like normal people on it, but they had an uprising and they just exiled all of the vloggers. So like all the streamers, all of them to another world.
Oh, so all the other vloggers are gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I thought you meant he was the last person on Earth.
You know, like Elysium, but in reverse. Everybody on Earth decided to just get rid of all the IRL streamers and the YouTubers and just send them off to a moon base.
Okay.
And so now Earth is a utopia, free from all douchebaggery, except Heart Turbo.
Yeah,
Rock
it sounds like they made the right call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so there's a very expansive story. We're not going to get into it. Your feeble mind couldn't handle it, Andrew. We'll leave it at that.
You told me the whole plot, so.
That's a goddamn lie.
I can't tell
you.
We've
retconned a lot.
Like
you've
literally approached
a lot of lore.
You've approached me two different times and said, yeah, if you want to help or voice it or write for it, that'd be great.
Your body could not handle the immense force as your mind crumbled into madness.
I blanked it out of my memory. I completely forgot. What's the show called? Fast Maximum? Like, I don't know.
Eyes roll into the back of their heads when they hear the pitch.
What you should do is do a strong, bold move. Does Heart Turbo have, like, a specific uniform, like a superhero outfit and shit?
No.
Okay,
no,
you should.
Andrew,
you should
we've decided
get
on.
Get the full character design going and then show up to your pitch at the studio in that outfit. They'll love it.
Well, not to give too much away, but I wouldn't want to approach the Russo brothers looking like that.
Who's that again?
Jesus, they made
the
Infinity
Avengers.
War.
Oh, right. I don't follow mediocre directors. Ooh!
Ooh, take that, Russo brothers!
Except Infinity War was, in fact, a good movie, so that's not a good insult.
It was all right, but as far as
our... I don't know what else they made, though.
It's just, you know, we have like Heart Turbo, Body Type, Jason Statham.
We've changed that. We've graduated from that type of bibling, so we've got it in a much better, more condensed and digestible manner that humans will hopefully be able to take in without combusting.
Speaking of taking it in without combusting in a digestible manner, Blue Apron.
Ooh, it's set you up nicely. Nice.
Right? Yeah. It actually worked this time.
Yeah, I gave you a softball.
You did. Blue Apron is a service that delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. Their mission is to help you make incredible home-cooked meals and to make that feeling accessible to everybody. You get to choose what recipe you get. The ingredients are delivered fresh and seasonally inspired, and all of these are ready in as little as 20 minutes. If you want chef-designed recipes and exciting September partnerships like Bob's Burgers inspired food, because, you know, people like that show, then you're going to need to go to blueapron.com/official. Now, you might say, well, I can just go to Blue Apron on my own little time. I can just go to Blue Apron. What do I need the podcast for? I'm going to do it right now. Well, hang on now, because if you go at blueapron.com/official, you can get your first three meals for free.
Ooh.
That is literally free products, no money out of you, more for you for less from everyone. That's incredible. I'm going to need one of my handsome co-hosts. Let's go with Charlie. I'm going to need you to tell them Blue Apron's amazing slogan and perhaps a dish or two on the menu.
Well, as for dish or two on the menu, Andrew, I'll do two. Crispy chicken tenders and mashed potatoes and pasta and creamy tomato sauce. A Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I wonder if Blue Apron approached me and wanted to do a Bit Defense themed meal, what they would come up with.
Stolen assets chicken. With shit.
A reskinned chicken.
It's chicken they stole chicken from KFC and brought it over.
It's just a competitor's like meal box. They've just slapped the logo over it.
It's just frozen meals from Walmart.
Except they hastily with a Sharpie write the logo out and then write Blue Apron at the top.
Well, I'm excited to get right back into a Bit Defense talk since you kind of steered us back in there. We can continue.
Well, we don't have to.
All right.
Well, we might as well.
No, I'm interested. Hit me.
It's kind of like a little book club here for this episode. So as we left off with the new world, the old brilliance, and the hated archenemies of the old world.
New Foundation. Don't forget New Foundation. They were the enemies, yeah.
A big player in the universe, no doubt. The biotech...
Misunderstood, I would say, though.
I haven't gotten that far in the chapter. So we're at the Biotech Corporation... It's an inspired name. That's the name. It's the Biotech Corporation. They've devised a new cyber warfare suite designed to bring down enemy systems from the inside. A virus that doesn't know it's a virus. An artificial intelligence named BIT. Biotech Infiltration Task Unit version 1.0.
This is some awesome lore. Commercial
release.
This is incredible. This
I gave
is like
the whole Bible.
This is like Ready Player One. This is going places.
They made artificial intelligence that's a virus that doesn't know that it's a virus. I don't know how the fuck you wouldn't figure that out.
What's my purpose? Yeah. To destroy computers? Oh, wait. Hang on.
Gosh, what am I? Yeah, that's some pretty shitty AI if you can't figure that out.
How about since I'm a fucking computer, why don't I Google my own name and see what comes up? Like, goddamn.
I'm going to be on Google. Google doesn't exist here,
it
Andrew.
It is Google, Jackson.
New Foundation destroyed Google in the old war.
Oh, God. All right, Bing.
I accounted for everything. There were no search engines in this world.
This story will delve into BIT's development period, his role in the war against New Foundation, and Brilliance's mysterious and controversial past. We are planning on having an absolutely fantastic list of enemy viruses whose objective is to stop BIT from finishing the level. We also take pride in allowing our enemy design a substantial amount of variation. And then he sends me the same main menu with Bit Defense on the Minecraft block, but this one has a colored staff that says enemy concepts. Would you like me to read the enemy concepts chapter?
Absolutely. Go for please. It. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
This is thanks. A fun trip down memory lane.
There's multiple emails, so there's plenty of content to choose from over the course of...
How do you Jesus. Still have all these? This is impressive.
Yeah, I can't find emails from like a month ago.
I don't delete them from this specific
email.
Which
is a security risk, just to let everybody know. Charlie just has these stray laptops all over his house, which are always on, always logged into every single thing that he has, all social media, and they just...
You better not still have the prototypes of Bitdefense I sent you.
He has everything. Worry, he has like our Skype discussions key. From 10 years ago. He has everything. It's so creepy. Andrew, at some point you need to sneak in and like delete everything.
Oh, I've thought about it. I've thought about just dropping his fucking computer, saying oops.
Just literally everything.
Are you afraid of getting hacked?
You could fuck us so hard. Charles, all it takes is like one disgruntled fan that you invite to a party or something. He just has to sneak upstairs and delete. Like he has access to YouTube, your Google Cloud thing, Drive, whatever. All of our shit. You're the glaring security risk. You
more
need
Bitdefense emails.
Maybe I do need Bitdefense in my life. You should just repurpose this as like a malware. Oh, actually, that's in this chapter. But you should repurpose this as like a malware defense.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to give a little foreshadowing.
I'm going out of order. I took a lot of time crafting this email to put everything in the correct order.
Yeah, I didn't mean to sully it. So the enemy concepts. Our enemies also have clever, simplistic visual designs that allow for easy identification but fun viewing pleasure. You'll never know a feeling so rewarding as the feeling when you're being chased by multiple tracker viruses and then a soul malware virus teleports through them accidentally, disintegrating them and allowing you to escape.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'll tell you.
In gameplay, it was pretty cool. An enemy could teleport
through. What gameplay?
Through.
In your imagination, when you sit on your bed and close your eyes?
Yeah, you felt like
there was
prototypes.
Actual gameplay. This is an actual game.
Jackson's got his little imagination box, and he closes his eyes and goes, pew, pew, yeah, got him.
Hey, fuck you. This was
an actual
game. I
teleport behind you. Nothing personal, kid.
Dude, remember that episode of Dragon Ball Z? What if that happened to my game?
That was gameplay. I'm going to find gameplay.
In your defense, Jackson, that sounds like an incredibly rewarding experience for sure.
Yeah, of course, the experience that said it's rewarding sounds like a rewarding experience.
But we're only just scratching the surface, Andrew. The game also features a varying degree of difficulty as enemy spawns are dynamic and random, meaning in one game, you could be up against several tracker viruses, a couple malware viruses, and a soul worm.
Ooh.
Each enemy class is entirely different as well. Here are a couple examples, so you can see the variants. These are not the only viruses in the game.
Why are you describing the concept of randomness?
Really? It sounds like you just wanted to make The Binding of Isaac, except stupider.
Does Binding of Isaac have roughly 12 different types of enemy viruses in varying rarity and characteristics, such as Tracker? The Tracker is a small, fast virus that chases after Bit whenever it can see Bit. If Bit evaded the Tracker by hiding in shadows or circumventing obstacles, the Tracker will go to Bit's last known position and start to search from there. The Tracker is the only virus that can easily detect Bit in shadows, not as good as it would be on the outside of shadows.
Wait, hang on. I gotta stop you because I just need to know this for context. How far into all these emails did you get before you responded? Because it sounds like he was just throwing everything at you and hoping that you would respond.
I'm pretty sure I responded after I just looked at that concept art that had Dark Souls in it, and I didn't know it was Dark Souls. I was like, oh, okay, that's good art.
So wait, was that the first response? The first email?
It's the first thing he opened with. Like, it's the title page of his book report here, basically.
Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Yeah. You nailed him, Jackson. You hooked him.
You hook, line, and sinkered me.
Jesus, Jackson, you must have gotten like just straight A's in class, though. You're padding your essay so well.
And that wasn't even all of the tracker. There's still a sentence left.
I'm hooked.
I didn't have any time for schoolwork with all this Bitdefense work that I was doing on the side.
I'm fucking hooked. I wanna know the next chapter in the fucking Bitdefense saga.
Yeah.
Him and his friend are in a box like the SpongeBob episode and imagining things.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Same.
It's a great one. If the tracker can detect Bit, however, it uploads the coordinates to its surrounding viruses and they take up the chase too, if they're close enough. Malware. The malware would destroy anything in its path when it sees Bit. Even other viruses are not safe from malware. If it sees Bit, it will begin to teleport. Anything in the teleport beam will disintegrate. Its movement style often random and malicious.
Wait. Anything in the... Why does the teleportation disintegrate anything?
It's just for gameplay.
What?
You can kind of like strategize it so that you can cause them to teleport through enemies.
Attack. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes attack more sense.
Movement. Yeah, keep going.
Adware. Adware is completely non-moving, non-lethal virus that when Bit touches it, projects one of many ads over the entire screen.
Speaking of ads!
Oh, Jesus,
yeah,
Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They weren't actual ads. They
Jesus.
Were in-universe ads.
Yeah, they weren't actual ads, which is about simple contacts. You know.
Yeah.
It's just like a flashback. Fine, simple contacts, go.
Let's
give a demonstration of what this would have looked like for everyone.
Simple contacts. That's right. Simple contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. If you need to renew your prescription, you can take the 5-minute simple contacts vision test online. It'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. Not a Bit defense doctor, so you know it's legit. And you will receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts and internet connection, which, I mean, who doesn't have internet? And 10 feet of space. That's actually on there. Even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you. And if you have an unexpired prescription, you can upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and then order your contacts. You can get $20 off if you go to simplecontacts.com/official. Or if you're a big old lazy boy like I am, you can enter the code official at checkout. It'll save you time, save you money, and you can save yourself a headache with Simple Contacts. Try it yourself. The contact lens prices are unbeatable, as well as an online vision test. Shipping is free.
You're gonna need some good vision to be able to read the rest of this Bit defense pitch. So get your contacts ready. And you too will be able to read it once we drop all the emails and leak them on Twitter.
Well, I'll go ahead and start teasing this with the concept art here. So this is chapter enemy encounters. So we can start.
Sorry, Jackson, are we boring you?
Yeah, really.
What's
I mean, I've already lived through all this. I've already lived all through this, but having said that, I did just find my private testing of Bit Defense, that folder, so I have all the game files here.
Ooh. Oh, God.
My game files, you mean JPEGs you just renamed to EXE files?
I have an installer and a single runtime,
Jackson, are you sure it's not just your install of Dark Souls 2?
He just renamed it on Steam.
It's not even the original, it's cracked.
Please. Oh, this is so cute. I even have a little manual on how to play it.
Oh, you should send it to us.
We should definitely do that as something special, like play the game together.
I want to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
But Charlie, finish the amazing Bit Defense saga.
Okay, so here's a little picture of the gameplay that Jackson's probably looking at, and now we'll go back to the enemy types.
Those were the old visuals. They were upgraded.
Oh. Well, I'm excited to play version 2.0 then.
Yeah, the HD remaster.
Which
it's mostly just the shadows.
Wait, which one is the worm and which one is Bit?
Ooh.
There's no worm in that, but Bit is the little blue square.
All right. It runs at 60 frames per second, everybody.
Yeah, we were efficient.
Viruses aren't the only things you need to be careful of, however, because there are several countermeasures built into each computer system. Take the firewall, for example. It's a laser wall that blocks access to certain points of the level that turns on and off at timed intervals. You might want to get through that at a time that the firewall is turned off, just so you don't accidentally get disintegrated.
Accidentally.
Jackson, are you pitching this to an elementary school?
Yeah,
you're talking down to the players so much.
Yeah, you thought I was a fucking idiot, I guess. Yeah. Spelling it out for
and
me.
And if you're a fan of jingling keys, you're going to love my next game, Peekaboo. coming out soon. Jesus Christ.
There are many different locations in the game that have been designed with several morals and lifestyles, lifestyles in mind. Okay, so Jackson, which lifestyle is represented in the gameplay picture I dropped there?
For those of you listening on audio, the picture is essentially a blue cube running through a bunch of other cubes with some light and shadow thrown in.
I'll have to have the pictures linked in the description since this is so centric to the episode.
Well, keep in mind, though, if they're listening on audio, I'm just saying.
It's
video, you can just post them.
For those listening in audio, this is basically NVIDIA's RTX conference is the screenshot. That's what I'm looking at here.
We had ray tracing before anyone else did.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear which one of these viruses is the oppressed one.
I want to know what lifestyle was in mind when that level was created.
I want to know how you thought this was a good idea.
Anything's a good idea when you're 14.
When you're fucking lying to your potential friend.
We weren't friends at that point.
We were business partners.
We're just business partners.
To go back to, this is more in the first paragraph, but for my payment, you will be paid a percentage of the profits received from the project. As such, a rather large percentage of the total profits are... As we are not interested in too much in profits, we just want to make a game that we enjoy playing and other people will enjoy playing. We will not be able to pay you upfront fees as well. Like I said, we're indie, have no funds. I'm sorry if that's unsuitable.
Wow. Yeah, just flat out say we haven't made any money. What a great pitch.
I was promised many total profits.
Yeah, I like that, though. Lowering the expectations, no lies.
Yeah, hitting me with the cold water. The two main locations
you didn't have to sign on, Charlie, but you did.
I'd signed the contract, that's right. The two main locations are the utopian paradise state named Brilliance and the juxtaposition state named New Foundation, which is basically a dystopian hell. And I'll drop a picture of that one here as well.
Oh, thank you. I think this is a picture that I've probably already seen.
Also, let's take a moment real quick to plug our new Discord where Charlie, for the first time in his life, is actually using it. Not only using it, but sharing photos himself.
So what we're looking here for you audio listeners is a probably some sci-fi concept art for like an Elysium or one of those kind of movies, except very obviously stolen from someone who can actually draw concept art.
That was done in-house.
Think like a utopian space city with some nice bright white colors and castles and shit. Going to end up in the final bit defense product.
For those of you that have been following the podcast on the video format, you've seen Jackson post this picture when we first hinted at the bit defense. However, this is kind of the version 2.0 because he photoshopped stock images of people on the platform. He's got a man riding
a
bike.
That was a joke. Wait, what?
How is that a joke if you're pitching
the game? There's a man
riding
a bike over like a fart wave. What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
That's bit using his superpower.
I don't understand what the issue is here. This is concept art over city. Of course there's people in the city.
Wait, Jackson, that's not... is that even a bridge?
Why are there...
It's a light bridge.
Why are there minarets? You just photoshopped a random mosque into here. Is this a Muslim paradise?
Well, yeah, it is in the Middle East.
All right.
Technically.
The location changes based on where you play.
Only the Middle East could come up with an AI that doesn't know it's in fucking AI or what its purpose is.
The architecture in Brilliance is sleek, metallic, shiny, and angled. It's unique and represents the brilliant exteriors and elitist morales that the citizens in Brilliance
hold
dear. That's
so gaudy.
Whereas New Foundation architecture is rugged, rural, and makes use of materials such as wood and scraps. Ew, wood.
Wait. So that's the New Foundation. What's the name of the other people?
No, Brilliance. That's Brilliance. New Foundation is a shithole.
Yeah,
okay.
So what you see in Brilliance is the light bridge sperm city or whatever, and then New Foundation is it's made out of wood. It's held together by toothpicks and glue.
It's like sandpits, yeah.
I love this so much. I didn't think, I literally thought this was going to be a 5 minute bit, but this is going to be the whole episode and I love it.
I don't know how the fuck you wrote this whole Bible on this. Like, God,
I forgot how long this email was.
There is actual gameplay to this. A whole lot to
how
it.
How far are we through this, Charlie, percentage wise?
There's about, I'd say if I like condensed all of it, it'd be about 3 or 4 more paragraphs. There's a classified section, though, at the end. I don't know if you want to count that.
All right.
Not for my eyes only. I'm breaking my contract to read that one.
I'll take you to court if you do that.
So then back to New Foundation. Obviously, this is a clear indicator of the lifestyles the peasants of the New Foundation have to endure. These locations are explored during the unique cutscenes and not during gameplay.
The unique cutscenes.
I'd love to see some of those.
Yeah, really. Me too.
I'm imagining Hunt Down the Free Man.
Oh, boy. It's going to be less than that. How does a little blue block convey that much emotion?
No, the cutscenes, it wasn't just the blue block. There were other supporting characters. The cutscenes
like
were just
green triangle and red square and my favorite yellow circle.
like the gray blocks. Guys.
Made from like wood. Scientists.
Scientist. Yes. Jackson, a scientist, it's a profession.
Yes, Linus, I really like this gray block you did here. What's it for?
Interestingly enough,
he doesn't know.
Lack creativity, clearly.
In the gameplay photo I dropped you, which one of those blocks is the scientist faction?
Jackson, you can't say use your imagination, because then it's, okay, maybe I'll just imagine it doesn't suck. It's not an argument.
Well, that's clearly what Jackson did.
The gameplay... Oh my god, the gameplay representation I sent you is within the computer. He's a computer thing. He's inside the computer. There's still a whole world outside the computer, which is where the cutscenes would take place.
All right, well, we'll get back to it then. I'm sure it's explained in the Bible.
Yeah.
These locations are explored during the unique... Oh, I already read that, excuse me. This means gameplay locations are generally artistically pixelated and designed with difficulty and playability in mind.
Artistically pixelated?
It's probably more like it was too hard to program real 3D shit.
As opposed to randomly pixelated where you can't tell what the fuck you're looking at.
Jackson, were you like thinking this was going to be your last night? Like from E3, it's going to be this amazing pixelated thing.
Oh, man.
We should do this. Hang on. I mean, before we continue dumping Jackson until he's shoulder deep in shit, do any of the rest of us have any projects that we went into when we were like 14 that we could make fun of in dedicated episodes?
Actually, Kai, you'll remember this one. You got me that potential writing position for Epistory. You remember that?
I got you. What?
You were talking to the Epistory developers about me being the writer for their game, and they gave me the test run. Epistory eventually came out, but it was that text-driven game, and you had me audition to be their writer. I still have that.
Huh.
Wow, right. Epistory has really, really good reviews. Holy shit.
It's a great game, and Kaya was talking to the developer during their development period, and they needed like a full-blown writer.
Wow.
And he pitched me to them. And they gave me a shot, and they ended up going with a different writer. But I still,
you know, one who had experience and talent.
I still wrote their chapter one, and my chapter one wasn't too dissimilar from the game's chapter one.
Huh.
Okay, we could read that. I extremely vaguely remember what you're talking about. I hardly have any.
How long ago was this?
That was probably 2015, and probably somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh, then
you pitched me Bit Defense, and I got hungry. I guess
I have no excuse for not remembering this thing. But.
Wow,
your chapter one rewrite for this this story, this new game is just Bit Defense retold.
Yeah, brilliant. And New World, New Foundation.
But yeah, if any of us can think of any projects that we can find that are, you know, in retrospect, very cringy, I think that would make for cool episodes. I'll look and see if I can find anything. This is fun.
I didn't even have to try.
The only one I held on to from back then, we already talked about, unlike episode 2, that dystopian show that I wanted to make.
That's,
you remember, way
cringy.
Back in the day? Oh, that's the only project I've had since like high school that I've actually cared about.
I keep everything, so like every like bad idea or like every song I wrote, I have. So I think I'll probably be like the star of this little embarrassing corner, I guess.
What do you mean the star? I've been the star for like 3 episodes now.
Not willingly though. I just happened to throw you into it.
Taking all the credit.
Yeah, embrace look at Charlie it. Stealing the spotlight.
Yeah.
Okay, I held on to it, though. So this is me bringing you Jackson's embarrassment. I'm the radio DJ here.
Thank you.
And this is me bringing you an ad for Loot Crate.
Ooh. Oh,
Loot Crate. Right. Everyone knows Loot Crate, the fantastic nerd-in-a-box experience that everyone loves to get their little trinkets and toys and t-shirts and all sorts of things for a reasonable price. This month's theme for Loot Crate happens to be cursed items from series such as Attack on Titan, mm-hmm. American Horror Story, Gremlins, and The Evil Dead 2. Loot Crate has sold over 30 million crates, and the original and most popular Loot Crate is a collection of items from pop culture franchises. Loot Crate packs $50 of value in each crate for less than $20 a month. You cannot lose with this offer. There are 16 other awesome crates from gaming to anime to all sorts of whatever stuff that you can also check out on their website if you want something a little more specific. The big thing, though, people, and I don't mean to scare you, even though Halloween is coming up, I don't want to rattle your bones or, you know, ruin your night, but this crate will sell out. You must order soon if you want to guarantee that you're going to get this amazing offer. Otherwise, it's gone, and there ain't a goddamn thing you can do about it. So if you want to get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, you can geek out in style with Loot Crate. Jackson, I know that you're getting picked on so super hard. Why don't you redeem yourself by giving the amazing promo
code? Redeem myself?
Yeah, well, you need to redeem yourself, Jackson. It's embarrassing. Why don't you redeem yourself by telling them our promo code and what you can save with it?
So you can save 15% off your Loot Crate subscription by heading on over to lootcrate.com/official and enter our code official, and that saves you 15% off the subscription. It's a nice little offer there for you.
Now please say that one more time because it says in bold, repeat two times.
Okay, that's lootcrate.com/official and enter code official for that 15% off.
Charlie, please, yes, please.
All right, don't worry, class, I'll continue reading from this book. The gameplay that is prominent in Bit Defense is best described
We're still doing Bit Defense? I thought you were moving on to your thing.
I think we should stay on Bit Defense.
I'm not just going to leave it on a cliffhanger. The gameplay that is prominent in Bit Defense is best described as being simplistic, fast-paced, and challenging. During the campaign, Bit's goal is to collect the necessary amount of data packets and then travel to the upload point and upload the data to central command in order to completely shut down the computer Bit is infiltrating.
Wait a minute. If he shuts down the computer he's infiltrated, how does he just not die?
He's in a complete network.
Yeah, he's in the cloud.
If the computer's off, they can't connect to the network.
Well, he just left before it shut down.
He's sleeping, Andrew.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go with he's sleeping.
He made copies of himself.
Well, that's everywhere. That's fucking grim.
He's in everyone's home.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know he's malware.
Your AI is like a shitty Hal from a Space Odyssey, just going, I'm sorry, Hal. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't let you do that. I don't know why I exist. I'm deleting myself like now.
It's like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. I cloned you so that you could die.
However, each data packet collected beefs up the computer's security. A new virus is spawned in hopes of catching and destroying Bit. And then he sent me the same screenshot.
Is that how antiviruses work in Brilliance or whatever Utopia is called, where it goes, oh, this virus has wrecked enough damage now. I guess I should step in here, depending on how much data it steals.
Well, stealing the data would make it more obvious that there's something there.
Yeah, especially if it steals petabytes, I guess.
Jackson, how legitimately how
There's
old?
There's no preemptive measures in New World.
How old were you when you sent this?
When I started making Bit Defense, I was about 14, 13, probably.
Because it makes perfect sense. Because I'm just picturing you like feverishly excited, like, oh man, and then this happens, but then this happens, and oh, then there's this thing. Like,
Bit Defense features stealth elements as well. with an exclamation point. I'm sorry, I should have read that more enthusiastically. In the above image, you'll see that Bit has a blue circle around. Oh, excuse me. Let me drop the image.
For those of you listening on the audio portion, there is a block with a blue circle around it.
Yes.
Pixelated artistically.
Yes, artistically. Yes.
Okay, so that way we can all follow along here.
Ah, I see.
This won't be featured in the normal game, but will be an option. But basically speaking, it's a detection circle. If an enemy enters the circle, it'll begin to enter chase with Bit or attack him. The circle is incredibly small since Bit is currently in the shadows. I'm sorry, that's
the wrong image.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I threw you. What you're seeing there is Bit being detected.
Jesus.
That's why not in the shadows.
Yeah, because he's no longer in the shadows.
How many screenshots do you have?
Really?
That's the last one of the email, unfortunately.
Okay.
Well, no, you send the one with a small circle just to...
I like how you're getting all prideful now.
No, there's a... He sent multiple emails. So in the initial email here, that's the first one he sent. Or that's the... These are the latest ones he sent. So I can go to the other ones in later episodes. So now in the image above, you'll see that he leaves the shadow and it's a different story. That's what he says. So Bit has several countermeasures he can use to advance his cyber warfare abilities. These countermeasures, also known as modules, are purchasable in the game's upgrade store. Each level of completion earns Bit points, which are usable in the aforementioned upgrade store. Time taken to finish the level also allows for additional points. One module can increase Bit's speed, and another could allow Bit to teleport like a malware virus. Did you have, like, a microtransaction scheme in mind as well?
Sounds like
that wasn't microtransactions. It was just like you upgrade your character. It's like character progression.
Oh, yeah, we know that. Here's a module that disables advertising.
It's an ad previewing experience module.
No, well, wait a minute. I think Jackson's a fucking genius. You make a game, you make a compelling good game, but whenever the enemies attack or hit you, you see advertisements, real world actual advertisements, and you can pay to disable them. That's fucking genius.
They've probably got that on mobile phones.
Yeah,
probably. These modules offer variance and replayability to the already addictive gameplay. They not only change the gameplay, but also Bit's appearance. they just change his color?
Different patterns and stuff.
So it's in, like, Fortnite skins, but even less. I like
kind
it.
Kind of.
These subtle changes...
There's only so much you can do with a square, Charlie.
He finally admits it.
These subtle changes make every playthrough different and unique. You may be saying, gee, I don't really want to play the same story every time. And that's perfectly reasonable and understandable. This is why we have several additional game modes in the works that will offer hours of extra gameplay. Look below for a small list of some of the modes that we're currently working on, name subject to change. Endless mode. See how long you can last as viruses spawn at increasing time intervals, choose a map, and survive. Speed mode. See how fast you can complete several difficult levels. Once you finish a set of levels at the appropriate times, you unlock the next tier. Choose a map and complete it quickly. What the fuck is this? Starod cab mode?
Sound it out.
What?
Okay.
Spell it.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to... You guys are going to have to help me with the pronunciation here, but here's one of the aforementioned game modes.
What the fuck?
Did you follow us? Backwards mode, you slackjaw.
Oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, goddamn.
Yeah, I don't know which one of you to laugh at.
Me, I've pulled a prank on him. I mean, don't laugh at me. Laugh with me.
This is all an epic prank.
You got me good.
Jesus.
Yikes. See if you can complete a set of levels backwards. The level spawns with a large amount of viruses already in it.
Now, wait a minute. What does going backwards have to do with straw cab mode? I don't get it.
For every data pack you pick up, a virus is destroyed. Try to wipe the level clean from viruses. The game is going to be released on PC and Mac, as well as Linux. We hope to eventually bring it to newer consoles as well, depending on success of the title. If you have any questions...
How did that work out?
Any day now, it's going to be announced for the Switch, I swear to God.
Actually, it would be good on the Switch.
I mean, I'd believe it. What isn't on the Switch?
Jackson, I don't think it's going to be good on anything.
Well, that's just main, Andrew.
On the Game Boy, it could really take it by storm.
You're going to send me the updated gameplay, and I'll give it a fair and honest review.
No, want a fair and honest review.
Well, then you're going to beg me nicely to give it a biased review.
Like now we're winding down to the end here.
Rock Cab is now a meme in our Discord. I like this. Thank you, Jackson.
Straw Cab.
I like the fan art for Bit Defense.
This is the gift that doesn't stop giving.
Oh, for those listening, by the way, this is new. We are currently doing a live episode recording in our patron-only Discord, which you can join at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. And I'm loving this, by the way. Charlie said nobody would show up. Aren't you embarrassed? I bet you feel just as silly as Jackson does.
Yeah, I fucking ate Krill on that one. I ate a malware virus.
You're enjoying this, aren't you? This is fun, isn't
it? I'm actually... Yeah. I'm enjoying this. I'm getting passionate about Bitdefense again. I'm thinking about new ideas and everything.
I love how every single time one of us brings up a thing to involve fans, the rest of us are like, oh, it's not going to work. Yeah, let's do the panel. No one will show up. And then we fill the fucking room. Let's do it.
This
Discord
isn't about
server.
You,
no
Andrew.
One will show up.
It's about me this time.
I wasn't done talking. I was going to say, well, let's do a Patreon server. No one will show up. And then almost all of them do. Like every time we don't believe in our fans, we have to be put back in line when they prove us wrong. I love it.
Look, I'm not trying to hoard the attention here. I'm just saying it was my idea to do this live. So if you want to join, go to patreon.com/theofficialpodcast and you can join this exclusive server where Charlie himself is sharing photos and shaming Jackson. Please go on.
Oh, Jesus.
If you have any questions, Critical, please message back asking. I'll be happy to provide you with absolutely any information you desire about the story, gameplay. I'd even be open to sending you an early version of the game for you to play.
What?
See if the project is professional enough for you. I can guarantee you, we do treat this as a serious project and, as such, are professional about the project. Aww. Is it too late to take you up on the early version of the game?
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
I hope you conclude that email with, like, part 1 of 4 or something like that. Just the saga continues.
We're just, is this...
Remember, I'm pretty sure I gave you a link or something to the Dropbox with all the early testing files.
I haven't even looked at the other 4 emails, so maybe that is there. A little cliffhanger, staying tuned for the podcast to find out if we find that.
Okay, well, now I want to hear your answer to that email.
Okay, how do you respond?
Yeah, I'll find my response.
I hope you just said okay and blew him off.
So we're at the last part here. So here's where usually where my roles are.
Is this
coming
classified?
In. Yeah, this is, well, yeah.
Don't
that's what we're
give
getting.
Away the classified information. I could still release this at some point.
For reference, some of the roles we want to be voice acted are as follows: Adam, Automated Defense Assistance Monitor, version 2.33, our sarcastic, witty computer program who is shown during the tutorial levels, plenty of lines, allowing you to fully show your talent as well. Plenty of humorous aspects, allowing you to be, well, yourself. Unnamed politician.
I love that one. Like, he's so upset that you're funny, allowing you to be, well, yourself.
Is this like this, like a pseudo intellectual business pitch that you'd read on like a red pilled form? Like, yeah, don't let on that you like your boss or something. You know, like, act like you hate him and talk down to him.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Unnamed politician, a mildly important politician who works for the totalitarian state of brilliance. He will be seen and heard during some cutscenes providing backstory. Not a massive role, but a role that requires a stern voice and slow spoken manner. And then here. Here's the coup de grace, the one we've been waiting for. It's a character. His name is classified. Even I don't know it.
Is that what it actually says?
No, classified is his actual name.
Cute.
Oh, I thought you were keeping it a secret from me.
No, it's his in-game name. He was like a spy.
Are you sure it's not classified spelled backwards?
Unfortunately, it's not. It's not like redacted or anything like crossed
we
out.
We cracked the code of Stradros the Cab.
Well, his description: a kind of new Foundation spy who will be seen during some of the new Foundation cutscenes. Oh, you did specify his name is actually classified. I'm not just pulling your leg and acting all mysterious. He has are kind of the same.
I thought of everything.
Jesus Christ!
I feel like you somehow retroactively just added that in during the episode.
Would it be hard with how easy you are to hack?
Yeah, really. Yeah,
damn.
Well, and then the last sentence. If you're interested in any of these roles or project overall, please message me back and we'll get an audition underway. Thanks for your interest, Jackson Clark.
Aww, and then that was me.
Aww.
Let's see. Aww. How do I... Yahoo's got this set up really poorly. How
Yahoo,
can I see my
Jesus
response?
Jesus Christ.
Wow, now
that's how old this
is.
Yeah,
we're going back.
Yeah, I had to go way
Lord,
back.
Yahoo. Fucking
you might have to go to your sent mail
boomer.
And search for the same subject.
Imagine if I ended that email with yours truly classified.
And then a little winky emoticon.
Okay, I think this is my response. I'm not sure if it's to this. Okay, yeah, I think this is it. This seems like it fit. Wow, I'm sorry. I just saw this email because I responded like 2 months later. This sounds like a very cool concept for a game, and I think it has real potential. Please keep me updated. And
aww.
I think that this would be something I would like to be a part of.
Aww.
Yeah, that was my response. Yeah, I was a bit tardy on the response, though, it seems, because it's about like 2 months after.
What conversation...
Well, thank you for believing in this, Charlie.
What conversation chain ballooned off of that? Like, did he go, so anyway, while we're working on the game, how you doing? Do you want to hang out? Like, what happened?
Yeah, we've covered that.
Probably.
Actually, hold on. I can find this. Yeah, I can find the sent email. Let's see. How did we get to that part? Because it was like we'll do a live audition for one of the roles over Skype. And I was like,
no,
yeah,
it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
It had to be.
No, I asked you just for the recordings. But
you're right.
If I'm remembering correctly, I would have just asked you for your Steam account or something and added you on there and then chatted with you there.
No, it was Skype because we had a voice chat and I never used Steam.
Right. Well, it was something.
Yeah. Well, this is a short email. So, we'll just cover the whole saga because the rest seem very short. So, where is it?
Can you hurry up because we need to do shout outs?
Oh, are we doing shout outs?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And we're already at 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, he said thank you. And then he's like, that was only phase one. That's only the surface of what Bit Defense has to offer. And then this is where we started talking, I think. How would you like for us to contact you in the future regarding the project? I would love to hear your thoughts on gameplay and art style after playing the game itself. So I'd love to send you an early version of the game, but I cannot do so through email. That's really slick. That's like a Tinder move right there. Like, I can't get to know you, Madame, unless we go get coffee. I like that. I would also like for you to read some lines and give some kind of audition so that I can get a better feel for what role you would be best for.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. What? That's just an audition.
Yeah, over Skype.
No, I just meant send me audio files of you reading lines.
I don't know about that.
And then I can put it in the game without paying you.
Oh my god, you scumbag. Okay, so here's the next one. I said, yeah, it's fine with me. That's some badass art. That's when the Dark Souls thing, he came up with it again. And this man, this fucking asshole, had the audacity to send me this. I'll get some lines ready. I'll email you them in roughly 4 hours. Thank you. I whipped that up in Photoshop for you before I emailed back. I thought you'd like it since it's like some kind of Dark Souls art. You fucking scumbag.
Wow.
Wait. No, that was me admitting that it was Dark Souls art.
No, you said, I thought you'd like it since it looks kind of like Dark Souls.
I can remember this very clearly. I was specifically told... No, I was admitting that it was Dark Souls art.
You did not... What does the Dark Souls guy have anything to do with Bit Defense?
No, it was just meant to be just like a joke or something. I thought you looked at the gameplay pictures, obviously, before that. You would know that there was no Dark Souls in there, so it was like a joke because I knew you liked Dark Souls. It was funny.
That's some real abstract thinking.
Jesus. This might be a little...
I wasn't trying to...
It might look a little like Dark Souls, I assure you. It is not. It is not at all.
Think about it at that time. Why would I send you a picture of that when I had no intention of putting anything like that in the game? You would find out that I'm a liar eventually. And how'd that lure you in? I already sent you a Bible's worth of information that clearly showed that it wasn't a Dark Souls-esque game.
Because you were like 15. Actually, you were a dumbass. Who knows what you were thinking?
And it was Steam and then Skype. You were right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also just noticed that...
Let me audition you on Steam.
While we're playing a game.
Oh my god.
I'm secretly recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, Charlie, we'll audition you while we're playing CSGO. And then 10 minutes into it, why don't you just stop auditioning and we'll just We'll play it by ear.
Hold on. Did you guys notice when I sent this picture? I just posted it again. He did actually Photoshop the head off it and put the block.
Oh my god! I didn't notice that.
Holy shit!
I never noticed that.
That's like a Metroid.
That's really funny.
You guys clearly don't understand my sense of humor.
I want to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, your sense of humor of lying.
It's not, that concept art in the background, first of all, you keep saying it's not ours, but it is ours. That was done by us. A lot of the only thing that wasn't done by us was clearly that fucking that model.
What the fuck do you mean us? Model. You mean you? Yeah, the single 15-year-old in his bedroom. Who's us? You don't have a team.
Yeah, where's this friend now, Jackson?
Me, yeah, my friend Jordan.
Uh-huh, Jordan. Where's this Jordan sure. at?
Charlie's met Jordan.
I have met Jordan. He's a super nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Met Jordan where, Steam? How do you know it's not just him playing a VLC MP3?
It was just me. Yeah, it was just me putting on a voice.
All right, are you boys ready for shoutouts? Then I didn't know we were doing this episode.
Yeah.
Let's do shoutouts. So this was basically just a bit defense themed episode.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah, which was fun.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like the BitDefense fan art. I hope it makes a comeback. Who knows where we'll see BitDefense next. Jackson will be accepting award at the Spike TV Video Game Awards show.
Yeah, dude, we're going to feel real.
I stand by it. It was good for the time.
Bro, you don't even have any competition anymore now that Telltale is out of business.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You can craft your magnificent world that explores lifestyles and morals through blocks or whatever.
God.
All right. Okay, this is shout-outs from our profiteer patrons.
All right, take it away, Jackson, with the shout-outs.
This one's from Daniel Halfstone. Still trying to think of a better shout-out, but until then, thank you all for the amazing episodes. You guys keep shelling out. More love from Norway. Thanks, Daniel. That's sweet.
This is from me again. Hi, Jackson, Andrew, Charlie, and Kaya. It's me again. Been a while since
me again.
I remembered to send in a shout-out. So I thought I'd do something crazy and actually shout somebody out. What? You fucking weirdo. No one does that. Some of you may have seen a few League of Legends build guilds or guides, Jesus.
Guides.
From Professor Milk. But did you know that he also streams on Twitch? It's true. At twitch.tv/professor_milk. You can watch him do all sorts of wacky things from cooking to singing to bullying the chat. Stop on by if you liked his videos or just want something to do for an afternoon, and if you think he's cool enough to help me convince him to ask to be on the podcast. And as always, thank you boys for doing this podcast. Anything that spreads joy and makes people smile is worth doing. I love you all. Thanks, me again.
Oh, that's cute. All right, this one comes from Grumple Katoy, crazed comic corporal of Peef Spogdar. Charlie, take back what I said about Amazo. I didn't realize how super cool it was. An android that can copy a superpower through just sight is super duper cool to me. I'd like to apologize to all the Amazo fans I made cry. It's okay now. I see the truth. I still stand behind my verdict that Amazo is a fucking goofball of a hero. On you, Kyle.
Okay. This is from George. He says, hey boys, resident squatter here. Hope everyone is doing well. Just wondering if there's any new word on Jackson and Kaya moving to the States. Oh, I guess I haven't actually said it, but a huge thanks for the podcast, guys. Y'all make a boring job still boring, but now my coworkers look at me funny when I laugh for no reason. Smiley face. I think Tampa is a shithole. So is Orlando. So seems to be all of Florida. There's no public transportation. It's incredibly hot. Dick made fun of me. He called me a fucking idiot for going to Tampa. We'll see. I'm not too hot on Tampa, but I am not judging the entirety of US based on my little experience in Tampa, which blew.
So with the States, I enjoyed it, yeah, but I don't know if there's any reason to directly move over there yet, since everything that we are currently doing can be done over the internet, so there's no immediate plans.
Yeah.
This next one comes from James Douglas. Hey guys, how goes it? Thank you again for another month of awesome content. I started university back up recently, and the podcast is one of the things I always have around to keep me grounded. Charlie and Andrew, I fucking love your tweets. Keep it up. Jackson and Kaya, keep interjecting with the best one-liners around. Love you guys.
Interjecting? Well, thank you very much. I talk the most. Probably.
Yeah, he does.
Not today. I read emails.
That's true. No,
okay, fair enough. But...
Which are technically my words, so I spoke to
Charlie, this legitimately may be the most you've talked in an episode, just in general.
And me. They were my words. He used my words. I deserve some credit there.
It was Jackson talking through me.
Vicariously.
Usually, I'm not just interjecting with a word here or there. I literally people tell me to shut the fuck up every once in a while.
Like right now. Because we're moving on to Andrew.
All right.
Okay. This is from Patrick. Don't really have anything I want to say this time. Just hope you read my message instead of skipping over it accidentally. That's a good aspiration, Patrick. Stay cool and don't do drugs unless they are the cool ones. Until the next Lunar Cycle, gaming brethren. I like that one. Thank you, Patrick.
Amen. This is from Scott. I'm currently sitting on the toilet. What do I do now? Amen, Scott. On you, Kaya.
Oh, you skipped one, I think.
No, I didn't.
Did you read Grumpy Toy Craze Comic Corporal of Peaks Spockdar?
Yeah, that was about amazing.
Yeah, one.
Okay, sorry. This is from Deviate Predator. Hey, butt buddies, I couldn't think of something witty to say this time, so I'll just say, keep up the good work making people laugh. Kaya, you answered my last question about the darkest thought you had with the best response. Good to see I'm not the only messed up person. I'm not. As always, much love to you, peeps. Keep this podcast rolling. Heart, ASCII art, ASCII emoji for heart.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Deviate Predator. I don't think I'm messed up.
A little bit.
No.
This one comes from Zyla Hermans. I think voicemails are a fantastic idea. It works well on the Dick Show. Okaya, did you know that Maddox accused you of stalking him for 3+ years? That man will never learn.
3+.
Hashtag I'm with Dick. Hashtag Maddox lost. Hashtag Kaya the Conqueror.
Hashtag I'm with Dick too. Hashtag Maddox lost. Hashtag Kaya the Conqueror. I'm with you, but please. I hold the WWE belt for the longest stalker here. Okay, it's 10 years, not 3+. Get it right.
Yeah, downplaying your accolades.
Yeah. For real.
This is from Roger. Hey guys, I've been listening since the start of the podcast and I joined Patreon as soon as I could. You guys have made me laugh more than any stand-up comic ever has, and I wish you nothing but success in the future. P.S. Andrew is best host from coast to coast. Well, thank you, Roger. It was very nice.
Oh, it was nice.
It was just nice. It was just well-rounded and nice.
This is from Soyacidal. Hola, boys, your label placing warehouse boy back again. I wanted to tell you about a recent sexual experience I had, so I invited this Tinder gal over for dinner, blah, blah, blah. We ended up making out, one thing leads to another, and I'm getting a hand job, except I'm not. I'm having my man meat fucking vice grip pounded. I'm feeling genital dryness that would cause the moist meter to implode. Friction burns like the space shuttle re-entering. I power through it, applying lube like I'm greasing an industrial machine. Trying to at least get off a little. But alas, she tells me she's not feeling up to sex because of her period, but she's happy to keep jerking me off until I come. Yeah. I've never felt such existential dread whilst maintaining an erection before. My dong gently deflates like a blow-up mattress being deflated. Then we watch Death Note and I wanted to kill myself. Anyways, God bless you boys. Hope this isn't too long. Love you.
I feel like most people want to kill themselves when they watch Death Note.
I thought that was a good show.
I meant the movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know why girls get this wrong with just ball punching, jacking off. It can't be that difficult to get it right. Come on.
Have you ever tried jerking? Oh, wait. Yeah. Of course you have.
Kind of a retarded question is that. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I don't blame them for not knowing it if it's
playing,
their first time.
I was playing devil's advocate.
But when I think it's that joke all of us guys do where, like, oh, anything feels good on a dick. Yeah, unless you're. You know, hammering my balls, that doesn't feel good.
Well, it's like how guys just, when they're fingering a woman, they just jam their fingers up there and or like jackhammer away.
Yeah.
Guys are just as guilty of not knowing shit.
I mean, if they're stupid at it, yeah.
Well, well, some girls are stupid at masturbating.
Yeah.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Jerking off dicks.
All right.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
All right.
I'm on your side.
Jesus.
This is from Dizzy Mercury. He says, hey boys, Dizzy Mercury here. This month, I'm gonna shout out music that I've been a part of. Check out my band, Tonic Freight Train, on SoundCloud. Freight Train. Jesus, sorry. On SoundCloud.com. on SoundCloud/streaming services. And my best friend's project, L.E.Y., with her new EP titled Salvation on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, etc. Have a good one, men. Okay, so again, since I fucked that up, that's Tonic Freight Train and L-E-Y on SoundCloud, Spotify, and all the streaming services to check out Dizzy Mercury and their friends' work.
This is from Hoobless. Fuck, am I late? Well, if I'm not, don't be stupid, be a smarty, come and join the Nazi party. He really loves the producers.
Is it the same guy every time?
I believe so.
It is, yeah.
So this is from Brohamium. So I just recently bought my first first Harley motorcycle. It's an Iron 883. A few people have been saying what a bitchin' bike it is, but there are also plenty of people who comment on saying it's a girl's bike. What do you guys think? Also, I don't know how to add images on here, so one of you will have to Google images of the bike. It's 2018 Harley Davidson XL883, and it's black matte. Also, I got a Simpsons Stars and Stripes black and white helmet. My best friend says it's super feminine also. Opinions.
Okay, here's...
I don't know the motorcycle, but the helmet sounds cool.
Well, here's my official opinion. I think bikes are cool as long as you don't, you know, fuck up neighborhoods. Don't rev up your engine in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m. and wake everybody up. Don't do it. Other than that, you do you, man. Yeah, it's cool. Bikes are cool.
Literally, my only opinion was going to be, I don't know shit about the bike, but if it has a loud engine, it's probably girly and sucks.
Only electric scooters for Andrew.
The silent cruisers.
Hell yeah, Tesla. Man. Give me that Tesla. Yeah.
On you, Kaya.
Okay, this is from Brad Alfalfa. Sorry, Alfalfa. He says, love y'all. Eventually, we'll have an actual website to shout out soon. Check my girl's art, atolls.deviantart.com. That's spelled atolls.deviantart.com.
Nice. On to Charlie.
This is from Lemurian Wolf. Hey, boys, I don't know what to put for this shout out, so I was wondering if any of you had a quick ghost story and experience, and I dig the voicemail idea. What the fuck? How did he know the voicemail idea? That was in the shout outs.
Well, that's fucking crazy.
I asked them.
There's my ghost experience.
When I sent out the mail asking for the shout outs, I also asked them what they would think of the voicemail. So, I mean, since it's brought up now, let us know what you would think of me setting up a voicemail number that you could call into and we could play them on the show. If you have any opinions.
Very risky.
Well, we would screen them. You don't just randomly play voicemails. Yeah. Okay. This is from Luther Aponte. He says, so as I'm sure you've heard by now, Michael Dante DiMartino and... you cocksucker. Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian Konietzko are partnering with Netflix to create a live-action adaptation / retelling of the original Avatar, The Last Airbender show. I was wondering, since you're such a fan of the show, how do you feel about this? Do you think the original creators will be able to do it justice, or are you concerned it'll just be another shitty Netflix show? I am concerned it'll just be another shitty Netflix show. I think this is risky for the reason that since it's the original creators doing it, even if it ends up sucking, we're not going to be allowed to criticize it because it is the original creators, and they already said it's going to be all diverse and not whitewashed and yada yada. I just don't get it. Why retell a story you've told perfectly in cartoon form? The story is perfect. Everybody feels nostalgic about it. Everybody loves it. Why do the same shit? At least tell a new story. Why Aang? Why the same story again? I'm not holding my breath here. I hope it's good. I don't expect it to be. It blows to hear.
I agree with that as well. This is from Mo. Sup, mofos. Thank you for this cool shit. Really makes my repetitious work bearable. Keep it up. Thank you, Mo.
Okay,
that was cute.
This is from Lolly Sanders, and they're saying, hey there, stalker. I missed a shout out again, LOL. I seem to get worse at this every time. The voicemail would be cool. I love them on Dick's show. But Dick screens the call-ins to filter out all the cringy shit. As a Patreon tier, it will be difficult to justify skipping them. Oh, I mean, we'd still have to skip them if you just shout slurs into the phone, you know. If they are still at the end, then listeners could always skip the end if the call-ins turn into random Discord callers episode 1000. P.S. Some dickheads told me you called into the Dick Show over the weekend. Congrats. I was so busy I didn't get to watch the live show. I did see your donation to Duckstream Live, LOL. P.P.S. Maddox lost. Oh, that he did. And this is a literal last second shout out that Atom submitted mere minutes ago. He says, I've decided to use my shout out to educate the listeners of this podcast by sharing my thesis I wrote at uni. Three sentences at a time. This is part one. I expect you guys to keep the podcast going long enough to make it through all 30 pages. Edited. When Commodore George Anson of the Royal Navy returned to England in June of 1744, the public hailed him as a hero. Anson returned from a nearly four-year wartime circumnavigation of a globe in what proved to be one of the most notable engagements of the War of Jenkins' Ear, a war between England and Spain from 1739 to 1748. Anson and his fleet had managed to capture a massive Spanish galleon, the Neustria Señora de Covadonga. I don't know Spanish, I'm sorry. And when returning to London, the men paraded their bounty through the streets, drawing large crowds. That's it. I read that to the best of my abilities. I'm sorry, Adam. And that's the last of it.
All right.
Let's
take us out, Jackson.
Yeah.
All right. Defense CEO.
Thank you, everyone, for watching this week's episode of the official podcast. Thank you to everyone in the Discord who was here to listen.
Is there a place where people can join the Discord, Jackson?
Yeah. They can join over at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. Have a look around there. You'll find it. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.